Something wrong with the pussy. Something wrong with the pussy. Something wrong with the pussy.
Welcome back to episode 32 of Something Wrong with the Podcast. It's your boy Julian. I gotta jump right in. I went straight from watching the Jussie Smollett Netflix doc, and I wanted to press record while it's fresh in my head. Literally just flipped the switch, got on camera as soon as I finished, so I'm right off, right after seeing it. Interesting story. I like how the narrative was constructed. Basically, what you're seeing here is, we all know the famous Jussie Smollett story, the whole noose and the subway sub, and why do you still have the sub, and, you know, was he framed? He hired two Nigerian guys, whatever, whatever. Point is, you're looking at a deeply corrupt Chicago CPD, Chicago Police Department, and equally, you're looking at someone that has something that was wrong with himself. I'm talking about Jussie Smollett. And you're looking at the battle of the liars. So the story does a good job of leading up to, with video evidence and all that stuff, getting to the conviction, which found Jussie guilty. To no surprise. And then there's a switch where there's two independent journalists that look into these things and they discover that some of the tape has been scrubbed. A specific 10-second mark has been scrubbed. And then there was this never-before-seen footage that shows these two men walking across the street. One of them could be white. And I say could be because they do a really good job at the end of letting the people in the dock look at this footage and determine. They're handed an iPad and they say, "What do you see?" And some are like, "Well, I see a man." And some of the people are like, "Well, I think he's white," or "No, it's definitely a black man." And you kind of are seeing people like perceive their notion on, you know, what they want the reality to be is being casted on this video that they're watching, which is pretty interesting. It's well done. The production team that did that doc did a really great job. But point is, I think it goes without saying, Jussie lied. And he is guilty for what he did, but that does not excuse the Chicago Police Department in their awful track record of what they've done predominantly to the black community that they serve mostly. In the doc itself, the superintendent, who is a black man, got caught lying. Basically, he was caught sleeping in his car, drunk in his car, said that, you know, he was resting or whatever. Obviously, that found out not to be true. And he was fired weeks before his retirement package, his pension, I'm assuming, would hit, which sucks for him. But he's a piece of shit. All these guys are pieces of shit. So you're just looking at two independent bodies of pieces of shit, Jussie and the CPD, working, you know, in tandem there on that to just create a mess. It really does suck. The Jussie case reminded me of during the Me Too movement when that one woman accused Aziz Ansari of sexual assault. And basically, when you throw a fake accusation and you're throwing it in such a heavy weighted social economy that it dilutes the real victims. It wasn't too long before the Jussie incident that the conviction of the cop that murdered Laquan McDonald in the middle of the street, that trial was happening around the swirl of Jussie. So you're seeing in action the highest form of racism and abuse of power with a police officer, multiple police officers, but one in particular, I forget the officer's name, he doesn't matter, fuck him, hope he burns in hell. But he put 16 shots into a man that was, you know, walking in the street, and most of those shots coming when he was on the ground. Then you find out that the police department went to the local Burger King, grabbed the footage and scrubbed it. You find out that they doctored their body cam footage or turned off their cameras so you couldn't see what actually happened. So you're seeing the worst form of this where there's a real victim and someone really loses their life and there's strife and pain amongst that family, but also within the community itself. So to have that going on at the same time as Jussie, with, you know, him leveraging, which is really sickening to leverage your stake in minorityship as a black man, as a gay black man, and you're just putting those cards, those chips forward on the table and be like, okay, here's what I can do to weaponize my struggles to get people to feel sorry for me, which is what he did. And I, because of this doc, I popped on his Instagram. I want to see what he was up to. I guess he did some Tubi movie and he's slowly getting back into acting. But I don't care for him. I think this case was the ribbon, the bow at the end of the ribbon. If he has a career, great. If he doesn't, also don't care, not invested. The judge did say a really harsh line when sentencing him, along the lines of, like, you've done more damage to yourself and your community than any sentencing that I could give you. At the fine, I believe, was $120,000 with an additional $25,000 fee. And then also he had to do, it was like 18 months probation. And I believe the first 150 days had to be served in prison. It was really well done. That I just remember the swirl of that taking over the internet, and pretty quickly those that kind of sniffed through it were right. I still think that we were right on that. What else is going on in the world? Drake bought Tupac's another relic of Tupac's, the Death Row chain, estimated, I believe, about $500,000 for that. Drake has had a lifetime affinity for Pac that spans to dressing like him and collecting his things over the years. I think what was, you know, a collector in terms of like having the means and access to may have flipped a switch and now become collecting out of spite, you know, to the West Coast legends and to just really rile up a whole sect of the internet. But before Drake got this, we must remember Drake's paid $1 million for the crown ring that Tupac wore, that Kendrick famously said in one of the diss songs, "Give me Tupac ring and I might give you a little respect," which obviously Drake did not. And in fact, he's acquiring more of his relics. What else has Drake done? Drake, during this Certified Lover Boy, Drake had a custom Tupac bust necklace done where Tupac's wearing a blue bandana and there's actually a thorn crown on his head as well. A thorn crown, which is similar to the crown that Kendrick has been wearing at some of those at the Mr. Morale show, in the Jesus-like figure that he sees himself as. But point is, Drake, this is something that Drake does. I think Drake, we know Drake is severely petty, and it's dangerous to have someone that is not only that petty, but has the means to be as petty as they want to be. I think if anyone wants to push back at the culture here, I don't think Drake's the bad guy in acquiring things that he wants and can obviously afford. He can buy whatever he wants. He's spent over $2 million in Tupac memorabilia alone. So money's not the issue. I think the issue with these auctions that I don't find issue with, something if one were to argue it, would be go to the people or the auction homes, the private owners of these pieces that, unless Drake's buying them under a pseudonym, but for the sake of argument, we assuming that Drake is the one filing the paperwork or his lawyers are, whatever, but knowing that it's going to the Aubrey Graham estate, someone should say, hey, no, if you really care this much about where these things are going, if you're the seller and you want to preserve the culture and keep things away from people like Drake, then don't sell to him. But Drake could be like a guy that has a little bit of scratch on Facebook Marketplace. Like if I'm looking for a couch and it's listed for $100, I'm like, look, here's $200. Stop the bidding. It's mine. Drake also has that kind of capital that he can play with. Even if someone didn't want to sell to Drake, say this chain that he bought for $500K was originally listed for $300. And Drake's like, here's $500,000. What are you going to do about it? You're going to take that extra $200,000. It's a great chain. It's Pac's original Death Row chain. It's pretty sick. I also don't think it's a coincidence that Drake posted the chain on the same evening or the same weekend of when Clips was at their LA show and Kendrick came out and did his verse on Whips and Chains. So, you know, it's everything has an equal and opposite reaction. You know, we're talking science here. But Drake is very much going to continue to do things that rubs people the wrong way. As he should, as anybody that's petty should. And I don't think we need to. The thing that I hate is when things like this seem to happen, we still always need to address he's not part of the culture. He can only buy his way into blackness. It's just like that's not the angle or the argument that should be having had right now. I don't see why that needs to be rehashed and regurgitated every single time Drake does anything that, honestly, seemingly in practice, honors a hip hop legend. Drake clearly has been someone that has a deep collection of esteemed hip hop memorabilia. And from what we know and what he shares with us online via photos and videos, he clearly takes very good care of these pieces, even though he also sometimes wears them as well. But we know that they're stored in great places. We know that these are things that are, you know, cherished by him and whoever is looking after his estate. Like, the things are in good hands. So it sucks to see the preference of someone else that you'd rather have own that. Like, we would have Kendrick on it. Well, then Kendrick should have bought it. That's kind of what I'm getting at. It's like the guy can do whatever it's his fucking money. These items are for sale. He can buy whatever he wants. He's a grown ass man with hundreds of millions of dollars. If you don't like it and save up some scratch, go put some money on steak as Drake would do, and then get your own fucking chain. Speaking of which, I just picked up my chain. It's the same chain I always wear. I have had this, I think I bought this for myself about 6-7 years ago. When I first moved to New York, but this chain, about a year or two after I moved to New York, but the clasp broke a few weeks ago and I felt naked without it. And I finally got it back. They, I'm not flexing. This is just how they handle their jewelry at the store. They had to send it back to Italy to get done. And it's about a 4 to 6 week process. And I got it back this week and I'm very happy about it. Honestly, just looking at it, I think they just gave me a new chain because it looks brand new. But I'm not mad about that either because I love my chain. And that's my everyday chain as well as my bracelets as well. These are everyday wear. I wear my shit. Drake wears his shit. If you have jewelry, wear it. That's really what I'm saying. Take your stuff out for a spin. Why not? What else is going on in the culture, ladies and gentlemen? I saw a couple movies this week. I actually saw a movie today. I caught a matinee. I'm recording on Sunday. I caught a matinee. I saw Relay. Was not great. Wasn't for me. Really limited script. The main character, who I love, it's the actor from The Night Of. I don't remember his name. I'm not going to Google it right now. But he, I think his first lines come 30, 35 minutes into the film. It paces a little slow at the beginning. Picks up at the end. There is a twist. It's okay, but it wasn't great. Honestly, the slate of movies I saw this week were not good. I saw Honey Don't, which is the Margaret Qualley, Aubrey Plaza, Chris Evans film. It's a neo-noir comedy, which is like my bag, dark comedy. It was directed by one of the Coen brothers. It sucked, unfortunately, because it had all the tangibles, things that I would like. But I saw it. I wrote about it on my Letterboxd. If you want to go check out my full review on Letterboxd, go ahead and do that. I don't want to rehash what I said there, but basically the movie just fell flat. It wasn't for me. Unfortunately, because that's the kind of movie I would usually love. I do want to see the new Spike Lee, Highs to Lows. And I jumped in on the Spaces this week too with Danny, and we talked about a lot of movies, a lot of film talk, which was great. It was good to catch up with Danny and the guys in that Twitter Spaces chat. Good group of guys over there. I always have a good time talking to those guys. In world news, geo local US news, first of all, if you're buying your shrimp from Walmart, that's your first mistake. Walmart had a recall on shrimp because of some hazardous, basically some sick chemical shit got in their shrimp. And if you were to buy, I believe the Walmart brand, their generic brand is called Great Value. If you were eating Great Value shrimp, you need to get your stomach pumped, or you also need to reevaluate your life decisions. Unless, before some people kill me, well, what if I live in a place that's super rural and we only have the Walmart? Then I guess that's your exception. If you literally, if that your access to shrimp and fish is only Walmart, I would advise you move out of that town. But if you're not going to, you need to stop eating all fish. Just get it out of your diet. You shouldn't be able to buy a pound of shrimp and cod and then 30 feet away, a few aisles down, buy new snow tires. I've never understood, like, people that can go, you buy steak and then you go and get a crossbow in the same building. Like, some people like get too hung up on the convenience of certain stores, like a supermarket, Walmart Supercenter, whatever those are called. I find those disturbing. I don't want certain items housed in the same vicinity. I don't want fresh fish next to the outdoor section. I'm not trying to buy a pair of sneakers and then go and get some crab cakes. I want to feel like I need to go from point A to point B, B meaning another store, not another aisle. I don't want to smell fish while I'm, you know, buying paint supplies for my child's first day in kindergarten. Just seems a little odd to me. To me. Who am I, though? Sorry, I forgot to put my phone on DND. What did I miss? What text did I miss? Nothing important. Nothing's ever important. I'm just a sad man now. Whatever. Yeah, point is, Walmart sucks. Don't eat food there. I mean, get non-perishables from Walmart. That's really the extent of which I would go. I started grocery shopping more. I've been going to Trader Joe's. I've been cooking the last 2 weeks. I have this za'atar seasoning. Those that are listening, my mom is Lebanese, which I'm sure all of you have known. My mom has given me this bag of za'atar, which is like just a seasoning that's really common in Lebanon. And it's usually laid out over like pita, but it's also great to put on chicken as well and like dressing and just, you know, it's just a nice little spice. It's a beautiful smell too and great taste. But it's so easy. I go to Trader Joe's, get a week's worth of stuff, including some swordfish, fresh swordfish, and I love swordfish steaks, and some chicken breasts, raw chicken thighs, and I'll season them with the za'atar seasoning. And then I also bought lebni, which is like our tahini, like a yogurt dip. It's a Lebanese dip. And the za'atar chicken right into the tahini, I do that. Maybe I'll throw a little asparagus or sweet potato in the oven. I'll bake that. You bake that for about 10, and then you broil it. What the broil means, the heat coming from the top to give it that crisp. You got to slice the sweet potatoes really thin so they crisp. The asparagus tips, you know, when they're almost done because you can see them kind of browning and that crunch when you're chewing them. Salt, olive oil, garlic pepper, or garlic salt, pardon me, a little olive oil, and then boom, bam. That's literally, I had that today. Delicious. I'm very satisfied with my culinary capabilities, and to do those meals, they're super easy, they're really fast, and they're delicious. So really back in my cooking bag. But you will not find me buying anything that I'm consuming at a Walmart. And I wholeheartedly believe that you should also live by that if you have the option to. I'm not shitting on you. If you live in rural Iowa, shout out Iowa. I do fuck with Iowa. But then again, if you do live there, just move. Like at least to Des Moines or something like that. In a little more disturbing news, there was a video of Rampage Jackson, famous wrestler's son, Rajah Jackson, stepping into looked like an amateur wrestling match and on a live stream and suplexing, just picking up a large white wrestler, slamming him onto the mat. And then I believe it looks like the wrestler hits his head and he just knocked out cold. But then Rajah starts wailing on his face repeatedly, and the guy is clearly unconscious. It's a disturbing video. No need to share it or play it. But of course, in a social political climate that loves to see a good race war, anytime a black man acts out or acts in rage is perfect time for the opportunity for a certain sect of Twitter to jump down his throat and vilify all black men in all their actions and say how everybody's alike. And this is just how they are. This is how they're wired. What are you going to do about it? I do want to say that more clips from this live stream are coming out. And clearly Rajah is a disturbed young gentleman that has a lot of ego and ego issues, I think, in short, is the best way to put it. You can see there's an altercation between him and that wrestler in the parking lot, and he's, you know, exclaiming time and time again, "I'm not a bitch, don't call me a bitch, I'll fuck you up, all this, all that," and he's just echoing the things of someone that is deeply troubled and lacks self-confidence and only knows how to assert confidence and masculinity via physical pain and inflicting pain onto others. And that's a cycle that is not unique to black men, but it's certainly prevalent in, I mean, he grew up in a wrestling culture household. So this is just, you know, he's a victim of his circumstances. Rampage Jackson, his father did put out a statement, and he said this: I want to clear up the misinformation about my son, Rajah. I've been confirmed that the wrestler, Stuart Smith, a.k.a. whatever, I don't know the name, is awake and stable. Rajah was unexpectedly hit in the side of the head by him moments before the match, which is also on video. Rajah was told that he could get his, quote, payback in the ring. I thought it was a part of the show. I thought it was bad judgment and work that went wrong. Rajah is an MMA fighter, not a pro wrestler, and had no business in being involved in events like this. I don't condone my son's actions at all, in all caps, with exclamation point. He suffered a concussion from sparring only days ago and had no business doing anything remotely close to physical contact. As a father, I'm deeply concerned with his health and well-being of Mr. Smith, the victim. That being said, I'm very upset that any of this happened. But my main concern now is that Mr. Smith will make a speedy recovery. I apologize on his behalf, and to Kick for the situation. And to Kick was the streaming platform in which the incident stream was live streamed. Great PR piece by Mr. Jackson. But yeah, it's just it's a deeper conversation that it's really sad to see these things be manipulated and leveraged for attacking young black men. Really, we can just say that. I mean, he's the subject matter of this. Yes, his actions were awful. Yes, he shouldn't have done what he did. But in the spirit of the Twitter police, I want to emphasize the word police, because people on Twitter operate in the way in which police operate in but the Twitter police, and I want to emphasize police, because the people on Twitter operate like police in real life. There is no ability to have a discourse or even want a reason or even want to understand the person that committed the crime or committed the foul. It's always, in Twitter version, shoot, shoot, shoot with your words and knock this person down and make them feel like a piece of shit, where there's no path to reconciliation. You're forever just a bad guy, and you should off yourself, because I would never do that, but you did that, and I'm better than you, because I have, not only have I not done something like that, but I can articulate why you shouldn't do something like that. It's an awful, sick cycle that does nothing more than hurts everybody involved. Obviously, Raj is not, I would assume he's not proud of what he did. I'm sure that you're looking at someone that has a deep intrinsic rage, and in a moment of outburst, happened to be live streaming and caught on camera, you know, in front of an audience, had an episode. We're seeing somebody have an episode, and we're seeing him in the same, you know, minutes get attacked for acting out. So I do hope that he gets the help that he clearly needs. And I hope that his father, Rampage Jackson, is in his, you know, corner and support, and puts him down a path. If this is the, you know, straw that broke the camel's back, give him the tools and put him in the rooms with the people that he needs to become a better person, because this is incidents like that aren't going to go much longer. And who's to say if that happens with the wrong person and they have a weapon? You never know, you know, who you're messing with. I know this is a controlled environment, it's a wrestling match, what have you, but you don't know. And rage doesn't have rage doesn't operate on logic. If you have an episode or you snap, it can just be at the expense of whoever's around you or whatever the circumstances are. You're not really considering if it's a police officer or if it's just, you know, a neighbor or whoever. So I'm really hoping that he gets the help that he needs, and anybody that's, you know, in this situation such as this gets help that they need, because it's scary when you feel like you're losing control of yourself. And not only, you know, is that happening, but you're also under public scrutiny and criticism. And this video is going to loop and loop and loop and live on for you know, at least until the next news cycle or something crazy happens. Trump's hand. There's a video, a couple of images going out. Getty photographer snagged a shot of Trump's hand. And it's, I mean, I don't know, man. I'm not a fucking health expert. People are saying it's not good. It's bad makeup, or there's patches covering his veins, or is he getting adrenochrome shots? Because about the same time this month, last month, he had the same patches in the same spot, so they think they're covering track marks. I don't know. Who the hell knows? I just know that, you know, DC is a militarized police state. He seems to be wanting to be expanding that beyond and outside of DC, which is awful. If he does have heart issues and heart failure and all that stuff, God, do your big one. Bless us thee. If only Trump could use that hand to release the Epstein files. Those big, beautiful binders that don't seem to be going anywhere or making any splash. I love the tactic that he took of, like, God, you guys are still talking about that? That's crazy. But, you know, classic. I had a park day with friends over the weekend, and I was listening to some of the music that recently came out, most notably the Dijon album. And if you're not familiar with Dijon, D-I-J-O-N, he collaborated with Bieber a lot on Bieber's last album, Swag. They actually have a song together, but he's super talented producer and musician. A great album, great park music. I was throwing on a lot of good park music. Some Lucky Day, little K-Tronada, some Tame Impala. I mean, let me get on a JBL in the park. I cooked. We got there. I was in Park Slope. In Prospect Park in Brooklyn. Got there around 3 o'clock. I mean, we were at the park until sundown. We were there for like 5-6 hours. And it was, you know, we brought wine and a bunch of cheeses. Our friends are Swedish and Colombian. So they brought, you know, some awesome dishes from their cultures. It was just such a good, like, multicultural ethnic group of people just sharing small bites and drinking great wine. That was such a fun day. I'm so mad at myself for not doing a park day earlier this year. It's sad to say. I'm pretty sure that was my first official park day this summer. But it was great. I even wore shorts. I don't wear shorts in public, but I felt inclined to wear shorts for the first time in public this summer. It was very fun. If you haven't had a park day, I was talking about this with my friend. You got to photosynthesize. You got to get outside and get some sun. It is the most underrated part of what we need on a daily basis. Days where, you know, say you're hungover, you worked all day, and you just haven't thought about getting outside. Take that walk. Go outside. Go get that sun. If you live in New York, try to walk towards the water, or, you know, no matter where you live, just get outside, catch some rays. If you have a roof, even just wandering up there, pacing back and forth like an old Indian man with your hands behind your back, that's such a power pose. Do that. Like, whatever it is, just get your vitamin D pause and just get that good, healthy sun, because it'll make you feel like a better person. I know this became a PSA about getting sun in your life. And drink water, obviously. Water is equally important. Park days are so great. I love this city. I had a night out in Brooklyn, and then I came back into the city. Well, I just did a couple bar. We hit a couple bars out there. Had a couple Guinness. I haven't had a good Guinness in a while. Man, Guinness is so damn good. And it's the misconception. You see the black, the dark beer with the heavy head, and you say, damn, that's a thick beer. It's a heavy beer. Guinness is a light beer. It's a light lager. You can drink so many of those light things and just have a good old time with the mandem. Great beer. And then I city biked back. I city biked to the park. Too many drinks to city bike back. Grabbed an Uber on the way back. It was a very nice ride. Head out the window. It was very, like, felt like a dog over the bridge. Nothing like New York in the summer. I did get a couple hellos and highs outside this weekend, which is great. So I hung out with some people, shook some hands, kissed some babies. I will say, good week in New York. I actually have done a couple modeling things over the weekend. It's not this weekend, a previous weekend, and a couple weeks or so ago, I did a shoot that I don't think I'm at liberty to speak about yet, but it was for a soap, shampoo, face wash. Like, it's one of those campaigns for men's body wash and all that. And it was another shoot where I stood in a kiddie pool and they're like pouring water on me. It's a whole shower sequence thing, which is my fourth time doing a shower scene for a shoot. I was told that the product, it's a large company, it's a very popular company. I was told that the shoot will probably come out in December or January. So keep an eye out till then. I won't spoil too much, but when that does come out, you'll obviously see the photos from it. I'll share them, but I'll also share some BTS video, because it was a very fun shoot. Great crowd, great production crew. And it was a quick shoot. We love a quick shoot. I was on camera for no more than an hour and a half. In and out, quick bag. Go. Everybody goes about their day. Take my lunch, city bike home. It was beautiful. But I do have another shoot coming up too, on another weekend coming up. It's very fun. Another beard campaign. Surprise. They love the beard. The one I did this a few weeks ago wanted me to shave my beard. Said no. Well, I said I would. But my agent was like, well, let me double back and see if we can get a little scratch from them. And said, hey, here's his beard fee. And good on her. I'm happy she did that. I would have shaved Had they said yes to that, but they declined. So the beard stays. The hair is getting long. Everything is just, we're just growing out. Everything's growing. Like, you can't see in the forefront here. I have plants that are all growing. A lot of new greens popping up. Yeah, it's been a good week. I don't have much to report on. Just watching a lot of movies. Doc season is coming up. Football season is starting. College football next weekend. I'm so excited. I love college football. I'm not a big NFL guy. College football is more my speed. It's a faster game. It just seems more pure. You know, you're not playing for a check, although NIL, it could be argued that you are. But it just seems more like about the sport than the job itself, which I love. So yeah, really excited to head into the season. I mean, the NBA, when football starts, NBA is closing in. Ready for my Knicks to get back on track. Just keep track of all that shit that's going on in the world. And yeah, another great week, guys. This is episode, 32? If something wrong with the podcast, this has been great. I love you all. Have a fantastic week. Enjoy these final few weeks of summer, even though they still can be unbearably hot. It's still worth it, because one day when it's 20 degrees and freezing, you'll be like, damn, I would take that hot shit and humidity any day. At least I know I would. And for that, I'm going to have some of this water, eat some of my snacks, and probably get in bed and watch another movie. I love you all. Deuces. Peace.